What think ye of Christ? Matthew 22:42. What a question. I should feel a passion, we should feel a passion to glorify our Savior and that all may know Him. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul, that I might know Him, Philippians 3:10, first part of the verse. We joy in our God, and we sing of that love so sovereign, so free, which did His heart move. When lost our condition, all ruined, undone, He saw with compassion and spared not His Son. His Son, His delight, His loved one He gave, the curse to endure, by suffering to save. Sure love so amazing, unmeasured, untold, since Him it hath given, no good will withhold. We praise that our God, how rich is His grace. We were far from Him, once estranged from His face. By blood we are purchased, are cleansed and made nigh, and blessed in His presence, in Jesus on high. I was thinking of Daniel chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and just to quote a few verses here. And thou, this was Nebuchadnezzar, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of His house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron, wood and stone, which we see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then He also says, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. That's John 17, verse 10. It makes me think of another beautiful hymn. And with those thoughts in mind, may it exercise our hearts. And I think of it in the words of this little hymn, little flock hymn number 105. Glory, glory everlasting, be to Him who bore the cross, who redeemed our souls by tasting death, the death deserved by us. Spread His glory, who redeemed His people thus. His is love, 'tis love unbounded, without measure, without end. Human thought is here confounded, 'tis too vast to comprehend. Praise the Savior, magnify the sinner's friend. While we tell the wondrous story of our Savior's cross and shame, sing we everlasting glory. Be to God and to the Lamb. Hallelujah, give ye glory to His name. Also, another hymn comes to mind, a familiar hymn, Little Flock Hymn number 8. O Lord, we adore Thee, for Thou art the slain one that liveth forever, enthroned in heaven. O Lord, we adore Thee, for Thou hast redeemed us. Our title to glory we read in Thy blood. O God, we acknowledge Thy greatness, Thy glory. For of Thee are all things on earth and in heaven. How rich is Thy mercy, how great Thy salvation. We bless Thee, we praise Thee. Amen and amen. And let's remember, in 1 John 4, verse 19, we read, we love Him because He first loved us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We find three times that I know of, Galatians 5:18, 2 Timothy 4, verse 22, and Philemon, verse 25. The apostles' 14 epistles all speak of grace in the first and last parts of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews also included. I would like to just say something as a word of exhortation to my own heart and to each one of us. Read God's Word, the Bible. Begin with prayer. Read the Bible. Strive diligently to present thyself approved to God, a workman that has not to be ashamed, cutting in a straight line the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, JND translation. And these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17:11. Read reliable ministry on God's word. Look at 2 Timothy 3:14, the part that says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and then obey the Bible and meditate on it. We find that in 1 Timothy 4:15. Pass it on to others. Romans 1:16. And I love this. Children's hymn, so familiar. I remember when my dear old father, in his later years, the last year he was alive, I asked him, I said, Dad, this is your birthday, May 2nd, and I would like to know what hymn you would like us to sing. And he said, Jesus loves me. This I know. We think of that as a children's hymn, but it's good for all of us. But it's interesting that it says, speaking of the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. As we consider the value and the preciousness of the Word of God, I'd just like to quote a little thing here. Will the Bible stand? And someone wrote these words, I stood one eve beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, he said, and then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptic blows have beat upon. And though the noise of falling blows were heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone. I remember when, if I remember correctly, the story of Harry Hayhoe, someone who I dearly loved and was a blessing in my own life personally, used of the Lord. He was about to board a train from Detroit, Michigan area, as I remember, and on his way to the Toronto Bible Conference, a man said to him, are you going to the famous Toronto exhibition? Harry Hayhoe said, no. This man insisted that he should go to the exhibition. Harry Hayhoe again answered, if you knew the exhibition of glory with Christ that I have before my soul, you'd never ask me. With these thoughts about the precious word of God, are we becoming familiar with the scriptures personally? Consider a few searching questions for personal exercise for myself and for all of us who know the Savior. And to those who don't as well, that there might be that exercise. The first one is, what impact has the Word of God made on my life, and including my marriage and so many things? What impact has the Word of God had on my life? Number two, has it opened my heart and mind to my sovereign, holy, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of infinite mercy and grace? Oh, number three, has it created a sense of awe and worship? Number four, has it drawn me much closer to the Lord Himself? Have I read the scriptures until so saturated with it that I think in terms of God's word? I'm reminded of a beautiful but yet solemn little quote. I don't know. I guess you could call it a hymn. But the words of warning to anyone who does not know the Savior. The Spirit came in childhood and pleaded, "Let me in." But oh, the door was bolted by thoughtlessness and sin. "I'm too young," the child replied. I will not yield today. There's time enough tomorrow." The Spirit went away. Again he came and pleaded in youth's bright happy hour. He came but heard no answer, for lured by Satan's power, the youth lay dreaming then and saying, "Not today, not till I've tried earth's pleasures." The Spirit went away. Again he called in mercy in manhood's vigorous prime, but still he found no answer. The merchant had no time, no time for true repentance, no time to think and pray. And so repulsed and saddened, the Spirit went away. Once more, he called and waited. The man was old and ill, and scarcely heard the whisper. His heart was cold and still. "Go, leave me. When I need thee, I'll call for thee," he cried. Then, sinking on his pillow, without a hope, he died. And the Lord said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." You'll find that in Genesis chapter 3, first part of verse 3. Another verse. Behold, now is an accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 6, the middle or last part of verse 2. And then another verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. God is speaking loudly today to all of us. God is infinitely more powerful than the COVID-19 and the plague of sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's 1 Timothy 1:15. And so with these few thoughts, I hope that your heart will be stirred. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, someone should hear this. Oh, come while it is yet today. Come while you have that opportunity. And if you're not living for Him, if we're not going on in a path of self-pleasure and pleasing ourselves and not treasuring the well of God in our lives, so important that we seek His will. His will is always perfect. And so with these few thoughts, we are thankful that our times are in His blessed hands. we convey our love to all. We would seek to look at every single soul through the eyes of our blessed Lord Jesus, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.